Hi. I want to talk today about teaching Torah to non-Jews. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph says as follows. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. You guys don't have a cover. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Just listen. Akko, meaning a goy, sho'osek b'Torah, chayav misa. For goy, he's involved in Torah, presumably he's learning Torah, so he's chayav misa. Why? Shenemar Torah tziva lanu Moshe Morasha kihilat Yaakov. And the Gemara Darshan, lanu Morasha, Torah is given to us as an inheritance, v'lo lahem, and wasn't given over to the non-Jews as inheritance. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, if it's also for going to learn Torah, so that should be included in Shem Mitzvah B'nei Noach. The Gemara asks, well, l'chash v'gavei Shem Mitzvahs, why don't we have like Shmona Mitzvahs B'nei Noach? You can't do Avodah Zarah, you can't do Gilai Rais, you can't do Ritzicha, Eivim Menachayim, can't learn Torah. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, Mandamar Mora, Shem Nigdal Kogazo. The Gemara says it is included. One of the seven Mitzvahs B'nei Noach is Gezel. What's the idea of Gezel? Taking something that's not yours without permission. Well, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah tiba lanu Moshe Morasha, then what they're doing is Gezel. And therefore, the Chayav, it's also for them, we already mentioned it. Gezel includes in stealing Torah. Alternatively, the Gemara says that one could darshan the Pasuk as if it said, not Morasha Kilat Yaakov, but Ma'orasa Kihilat Yaakov, as if we are betrothed to the Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah as a betrothal, as erusin. And if that's the case, then it's also for goy to take the Torah away, because it falls under the category not of Gezel, but under the category of, so to speak, Giriyah Raya. Right? It's like adultery. The Torah was given over to us as a betrothal, not to them. Either way, basically what we're trying to point, the Gemara is trying to point out, is that teaching, or that the goy learns Torah, either he's taking something which is not his, or he's intruding on a very intimate relationship between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu via the Torah. And either way, it's also for goy to be able to take the Torah. The Gemara though, yes? Alright, excellent question. We'll get to the Be'ezrat Hashem. Excellent question. The Gemara continues and quotes the statement in the name of Rabbi Meir, which seems to pose a problem. The Gemara says, Minayin shatilu atu v'osek b'Torah hu kekohen gadol. How do you know that if there's a guy who's involved in Torah, learning Torah, so he has his right to kekohen gadol? Because he's learning Torah, it's a positive thing. The Gemara continues. One second, what's the problem? Shenemar Asher Yaseh Osam HaAdam V'Chai Bohem. It says Asher Yaseh Osam HaAdam V'Chai Bohem. Kohanim Levim Yisraelim Lo Nemar Elo HaAdam. This is if anybody is involved in Torah, it's good. It's good for anybody to be involved in Torah. So the Gemara says, how is it possible that you're telling me it's also for going to be involved in Torah, and Yitzchai Yisrael is involved in Torah, and they're going to be involved in Torah, it's like a Kohen Gadol. Make up your mind. The Gemara answers also in the Sheva Mitzvah Bidvum. Because it depends. If a guy is involved in Torah and Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noah, so then, it's good of it. That's good! If he's doing Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noah, if he's studying Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noah, that's fine! Because that wasn't given over just to us. That was given over to everyone. Torah Tziva Lama Moshe has to do not with the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach has to do with the other, so to speak, 606 mitzvahs, the rest of them. And therefore that's fine. But if he's involved in non-Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, that's when it's up in his Chayav Misa. And the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim paskins that Akum she'asak b'Torah Chayav Misa, Layasok Ela Visheva Mitzvot Shelahen Bilvat. He's only allowed to be Osek in the Sheva Mitzvot. Vim Asak Batorah. So what's his Chayav? Misa. But listen to what the Rambam says. Modiin Ososhu Chayav Misa. You tell him he's Chayav Misa, but you don't kill him. Aval Einu Nera. He's Chayav Misa. You don't kill him. What does Misa mean? What does it mean like Misa? Kof. Misa Bidei Shamayim. Well, they're not exactly the same thing. We say on Yom Kippur, we say two separate things. Okay, Al Chatam Shalachayim Aleihem, Misa Bidei Shamayim, Al Chatam Shalachayim Aleihem, Chorus Ariri. So two slightly separate things. But the guy Chayim Misa Bidei Shamayim, meaning we have to show, even there's a Bezit, even there's a Sanhedrin, we don't kill the guy who's learning Torah, but it's Chayim Misa Bidei Shamayim. If, however, he's involved in Shem Misa Bidei Shamayim, that's fine. Now, this is as far as the guy himself is concerned. What about my relationship to the guy? Can I teach a guy Torah? So the Gemara says, no. I'm a Rabbi Yavi. The Gemara is Chagig on Daf Yud Gimel. Ain't most from different Torah la'akim. You're not letting hands over different Torah to a guy. Shenemar. You have to tell me where the pasuk is. Lo asa chen l'chol guy u'mishpatim. Finish. Baal Yidda'un. Where is this from? What? No. No. It's the second Hallelujah after Ashrei. Right? I left out the last word. Ain't nothing to it. Lost the Chenu Chogoi, Mishpatim Baal Yidda'un, Hallelujah. So anyway, the pasuk says, U'mishpatim Baal Yidda'un. What is Mishpatim Baal Yidda'un? Don't inform them about the mishpatim, the ones that weren't given over to them, and not supposed to inform them. So that's why you're not allowed to teach a guy Torah. So Tosfot comes along and says, I don't need a separate pasuk to teach me I'm not allowed to teach a guy Torah. It should be obvious that I can't teach a guy Torah. What should be the obvious reason why I can't teach a guy Torah? No. What? And therefore, if he's not supposed to learn, and I teach him, and I violate the Mishnah Ivel of Sitei Mirshal. So Tosfos says, why does the Gemara have to come along and bring a special pasuk u'mishpatim baal yidda'un to teach me that a guy, I can't teach a guy Torah? It's obvious I can't teach a guy Torah because I would violate the Mishnah Ivel of Sitei Mirshal because the guy is not allowed to learn Torah, and I am encouraging or aiding and abetting a halachic crime, an aveira over here. And I'm not allowed to do that. It's Tim Gemara, but it's there's a Nazir. The Nazir is on one side of the river, and I'm on the other side of the river. And the Nazir says to me, he says, pass me the bottle of wine. The Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. And I tossed him the bottle of wine, so I violate the listening eagle of Sitei Mirshal, because he wouldn't have had the wine without me. So that's why I'm not allowed to teach a guy Torah. So Tosfos to ask, why is it that I need a separate pasuk? So what's Tosfos answer? So sometimes you don't violate the Lifnei Ivel of Sitei Nichshol. Generally, you only violate the Lifnei Ivel of Sitei Nichshol if when? I gave it away with the Nazir. Because I set up the case. What? They couldn't get it another way. So what was the case I gave you with the Nazir? We're on two sides of a river. I'm on one side, you're on the other. But if, let's say, like I'm sitting right next to the Nazir, and he says to me, pass me the bottle of wine, and if I didn't pass him the bottle of wine, he would just reach out and take it, but I violate the Lifnei Ivel of Sitei Mirshal, the answer is no. So Tosfos says, let's say there's a situation where there's a guy who has other access to learning Torah. For instance, the internet. An English translation of whatever he wants to be translated. Right, the guy comes along and there's an art scroll Gemara right here. What? So there's an art scroll Gemara right here. And he comes over and he says, can you translate into English these few lines of the Talmud? And I know that he knows the art scroll Gemara is here. I know he knows that he could look it up. And I know that he can read and he would understand it. Would I violate the Lifnei Ivel of Sitei Mirshal if I translated it for him? No. Is it mutter for me to translate it for him? No. That's the separate Easter u'mishpatim baal yidda'un. I'm not allowed to teach a guy Torah even if he has other access to Torah. Okay. Yeah. So it would sound like that the mishpatim baal yidda'un would be the Rabbanan Issa. That's what it seems like. If it would be the Lifnei Iver, then it would seem to be a Doraisa. Yeah. Okay. Now, by the way, in terms of, we might as well talk about it, in terms of Talmud HaShivim, if you know that Talmud, the king of the Syrian, the Greek king of Egypt, in the time of Bayit Sheni, wanted wanted the Torah to be translated into Shiva, into Greek. And they had 70 Zekanim, or 72 Zekanim, and that was called the Septuagint, where they had translated to Greek. And in fact, this took place when? Well, this took place on Tet Tevet, if I remember correctly. Because on the Slichos of Asara B'Tevet, he mentioned three different things that happened in the last 3 days. It's Ezra HaSofer died. I think that was Ches Tevet, if I got my dates correctly. Ches Tevet was the Targum, and Asara Tevet was the Matzah. And each one was a tragedy. Right? So that really was a tragedy. It would seem that if it would be us to hand it over, the only reason it was mutter would be Ruach Nefesh. However, there are certain things one is allowed to teach a non-Jew. Certain things. I mean, every time, like a Jew says, why do you wear that beanie on your head?
So,
well, what do you want to call it? It's like a little cap of sorts. Like a little, it's not a hat. What are you going to call it? I don't know what it is. So, can you answer the question? What do you guys celebrate on Hanukkah? So, can you answer the question? So, we'll see, yes.
You
have met the Chabad Chaim, yeah, okay.
Okay,
so can I answer the question, what you learned in Parsha class today? All right. So the first thing we already established, what's the first thing that you're allowed to teach a guy?
Sheva
mitzvos b'nei Noach. Now, there's an interesting question which the Achronim raised. I don't know if there's a real conclusion to it. When I'm allowed to teach a guy Sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach, how in depth am I allowed to teach him Sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach? Meaning, am I only allowed to teach him the halacha l'maisa, the bottom line? Or what would happen if I wanted to open up a Gemara in a Rambam and use that as a text to teach him Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach? The Rambam says like this, the Gemara says like this. No. Can I teach him Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach in depth? Because it's Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Oh, no, it's by a need-to-know basis. What does he need to know? He needs to know, don't steal. So I don't have to tell them how we learn it out, and if there's 16 different shittos about it, just bottom line. So that's an interesting question. I don't know if there's a resolution amongst the Achronim, but that's one question. But Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach is permissible. The Shulchan Gevorot in the second half of the Zohar suggests that there's another thing I can teach him. I can teach him Nevi'im Uksuvim. No.
So much more about
okay, so why, what's the basic difference between Nav and Ta in Torah?
Well, basically, I mean, what's
the main thing?
Story.
Well, what's the main thing?
Yes,
that is besides concern. Torah contains the mitzvah. Most of which don't apply. So what does Nach talk about? It generally doesn't talk about this stuff. It talks about other stuff, yeah, but what kind of other stuff? Let's put that aside for a minute. Okay, so the Shulchan Gevorot explains as follows. says Nevi'im uksuvim nira ba'inai shemuta lelando shero ba'en nechamot nevot av nechamot ha'amurim liYisrael u'tshuvot shero'oi la'amin la'apikorsim ha'idei kein efshar shiyashlim darko. What is yashlim darko? Meaning, I don't know if you can teach them everything in Nas, but what parts of Nas would be appropriate? You're right. Let's say Yonah, you can't run away from God. The story of Yonah, right? There's a moral lesson there. You can't run away from God. Wherever you are, that's what's going to happen. Any Nebuah that says the bad people are going to get punished and the good people are going to get rewarded, anything. Anything that may talk about the existence of God, maybe even stories that talk about Nisim, miracles that God did to help the person believe more in God. So, anything that can help, I guess, their moral development, their ethical development, their trust in Kadosh Baruch Hu, belief in God, those things would be permissible. Because really, it's just an extension of what we first mentioned, which is what am I allowed to teach them? Sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach. But I'm expanding it. A goy has to know not only that there's seven mitzvot, a goy has to believe in God, a goy has to know that he has to perform his mitzvot, a goy should know that if he does an aveiri, he can do tshuva, a goy has to know you can't hide from God. You know, all those basic ideas. So I can teach him that. If that's the case, in a moment, then is Torah off limit? Oh, so the Malamed Lahoel, the David Tzvihachel, tremendous Talmud Chacham in Germany, over 100 years ago, so David Tzvihachel said that it seems to him that you can tell teaching from Torah, but what can you teach him? Which primarily are, and well, what category yes and what category no? Mitzvahs no. And stories yes. Yes. Basic, what we call Bible stories, you could probably teach them. Right? Tell them that there was a terrible generation in the time of Noah and the people were morally corrupt and everything was so bad that what did God do? He brought this punishment on the world and he was a mabul. And Noah, who was the tzaddik, was saved, and he was, and we all descendants of Noah, and we have to make sure that we don't do it again, and you can talk about the people of Sodom, and look what happened, how evil the people of Sodom were, and what happened to the people of Sodom, and how Hashem takes care of Abraham, and one can talk about how the Egyptians, when they enslaved the Jews, afterwards they got terribly punished for it, all those things, that he says, "Kedei shiyira maaseh nisim sha'asa Hashem liYisrael." See the nisim. Kedei shiyakir b'gvurasa v'gadlo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he won't be able to help himself. So all that would be permissible to teach to God. So getting back to Ariella's question, which was, so could you tell that
when she comes to my daughter's
Arkansas
with her son, are they not allowed to listen to the
Rainbow Road? Good. Okay, but could you teach your parsha? The answer would be?
It was the parsha about
right. So, what could you teach then? Let's say you're learning parsha Kedoshim.
So,
you can learn how you're supposed to respect your parents, because you have a karatato.
Now, let's
just
look at one of those things. Right. When you're a kid, you learn everything. It's not your own.
Right, exactly. Listen, you know, if you're a little kid, you don't quite know what to do anyway. But if somebody were to ask you, you can talk about, you know, general things. You know, should you talk to them about, I don't know, the mitzvah of Shabbos? So I would say no, shouldn't teach them the mitzvah of Shabbos. But if you wanted to talk to them about the mitzvah of Tzedakah, I think in general you can talk about how it's important to help poor people and you should always be sensitive to people who have less than you, and after all of our wealth comes from God, and therefore when we help the poor person, we're just doing God's work and we shouldn't be so stingy with our money. You know, those kinds of things it's important for non-Jews to know as well. Yeah.
Well, What about if you're teaching that Alexander and Gershwin are not considered a teaching part of the right? You have to have a part of it, and you need to teach them a little bit about how pressure works.
Okay. So what do you think the answer to that is? She doesn't have to know about Shabbos unless she's doing the shopping for you and you want to tell her to help
like
you.
You have to know you keep these dishes and
not using the other. They don't have to know. What? They don't need to know why. They just... I remember, I mean, this is not exactly the same thing. Many years ago, I lived in Brooklyn, so I had a shared driveway with this Italian, it was a narrow driveway, and we had a side door, and he had a side door. You walk out the side door, so we're in the shared driveway, and he was an Italian couple, and he had a motion-sensitive light that would turn on at night. So I'd be in the driveway, and even when it was dark, and I'd walk by, the light would go on. So the only was all year long, I just knew, that was the only entrance to a house, like the front entrance, I just knew that on Shabbos, during the year, I wouldn't, when it started to get dark, I wouldn't walk in the driveway. And then just go through the front door. But on Sukkot, we kept our Sukkot in the backyard, and we were going in and out. So I said, okay, I have to talk to the guy. So I go and I knock. Nice fellow. We weren't very close at all, but said, "Listen, I'm having this holiday and I have to eat outside and I had with the light." And so I explained to him. Just says he stops me and he says, "Just ask me what you want." I said, "Do you mind like disconnecting the motion detector for the next 8 days?" He said, "Fine." That was it. He didn't want to know from circus. He didn't want to know from Gromal. He doesn't want to know from this. He just wanted to know bottom line. With your housekeeper, you can tell her these dishes, this sink; these dishes, that sink. Right? This cutlery here, this thing here. You know. Want to teach them about bishalatim? Say, don't turn the fire on. You need to turn the fire on. You call me. You don't have to tell them why, what, where, when. That's all you need to do.
Okay, so isn't there this program where we go to like Catholic schools or schools that make you? We go and talk about Judaism and the light, and not
to break down Judaism, but the sense of it. We do go and like, we talk about
like,
a Jew, and
like, well, explain like, that we like, candles and why, or like,
The question is, you know, to go in to start teaching them all sorts of things about kashrus, if I know, they sometimes do this, they'll go into hospitals where there is a large Jewish population, in the United States, they also, there's a large Jewish population, and they'll talk to the nursing staff and the orderlies, etc., to be sensitive to Jewish issues. For instance, they should know that Orthodox Jews don't turn on lights and don't turn off lights on Shabbos, and therefore if you turn the light on the patient's bed, they won't be able to turn it off. You should know that that's why they take the staircase and they don't use the elevator, that they'll have special requests about dietary food, that when it comes close to Pesach, they'll be very finicky and careful about whatever it is. So that's important because that's like your housekeeper in the house. In other words, we want them to be able to be sensitive to what it is. To go into a non-Jewish population and to start teaching them about Hilchos Shechita and how we eat certain kinds of meat, certain kinds of food, I don't know.
True,
it's still mishpatim about his own. Yeah.
What happens if you're in the minority?
Okay, we'll get to that. Okay.
Do the things are being as though we have them, there's a room for the public, we have a room in general. Most people that are not Jewish, but there were Jewish people out of the week, most of the people who were in the room.
If you can not teaching them Torah. You're making them a Hanukkah menorah or a dreidel or whatever it is. You're not teaching them Torah.
What? But
what does it make sense to keep on that? That's a good shot with the Zina Pesumi Nisa. We got the guy. Teach them just to light the candle.
But, I'm going to
get
a candle,
I'm going to
ask for
it, there are a number of folks who point out that if you are asked a very specific question, and if you don't answer the question, the person will walk away with the wrong impression, meaning you don't know why you do things, there's no reason why you do things, they think you're doing things for the wrong reason, they think that we don't have a clue about what goes on in our religion, then you're allowed to answer the question. However, you have to realize that many times a very straight, general answer, simple, is more than enough. You don't have to, sometimes you're saying, why do you know this? You say, oh, it's a Jewish holiday. They say, oh, that's fine. Like, that's all they needed to know. So if somebody asks you, what was the question that they asked you? So somebody says to you, precisely, in other words, don't you believe that it's an eye for an eye, then you should definitely answer the question. Because not only, in this case even more so, not only if you don't answer the question, they'll think that you don't know the answer, they have actually wrong information. Mm-hmm. And it's wrong, that the going should not have any wrong information. We don't want to give them information, but we certainly, if it's wrong, then we can correct it. And therefore, if the guy asks me why I'm wearing a beanie on my head, then I'm allowed to answer the question. And I can say it's a sign of reverence to God. Happened to me, not so much this, a few years ago, I was actually in the States recruiting for MMY, and I was flying through Columbus. No, Columbus. Yeah.
No.
Columbus, Ohio. I was flying to Columbus, Ohio, and I get to the airport at some ungodly hour of the morning because the only flight that I had to go from Columbus to Cleveland. And if I were to daven for speaking in Brooklyn, I would have missed my flight. So I had to get to the airport. You have to get to the airport an hour before flight time, otherwise they won't let you in. So I got to the airport. I'm going to have to daven in the airport. Of course, I get to the airport. Every single flight is on time. You know that the monitor. Every single flight on time, except one. The flight to Columbus, right? Mm-hmm. So I was the flight was delayed and then delayed again. I could have done with a seek and I kind of could have probably done with a late minion and still made it time, but I didn't know that then. So I had to dive into the airport. Well, the airport was fairly deserted at that time of day, so I got a little bit of some. And I dove. I finished diving, I took off my talus, my talus, etc. And some obviously non-Jew comes over and says, do you mind my asking you a question? I said, no. So he said, I saw after your prayers, you step back a few steps. I've seen you guys do that before. Why do you do that?
Why do
they comment
on that?
Alan, villain, bowing, shuffling up. She said, why do you step back a few steps? So I said, well, you know, after the Saeed, I said, I see you're praying, you want to, if you're stepping away from God, and it's just sort of sign of respect, you step backwards. So he said, oh, you mean like you're praying to the Lord, like the King of Kings or something like that, and you walk back with respect. He said, yes. I like it. That's cool. That's good. Okay. That's the only thing he had. So I'm allowed to do that. Now, I wouldn't go in, you know, I wouldn't start going to my non-Jewish neighbor and telling me, listen, I want to tell you how we choose prayer, right? First we bow here, we bow there, we bow slowly, and we pick up our heads, and we step backwards, and we shuffle, and but he asked me a question, right? So, you know, you can tell him why you wear a beanie. You can ask him, why do you wear long sleeves if it's in the middle of the summer? why do Jewish women wear wigs? But the simplest is the answer out of modesty. You don't say, well, there's a Gemara, Ksubas, that talks about that, Moshe, that you lose it. No, you don't answer that. You know? See, a simple answer, they just want to be able to categorize, and that's allowed for them.
There's a difference between informing them that it's this and it's this.
What's the question? I mean, like, you initiate something, or?
No, let's say it comes up in conversation. You say, yeah, I have to go get my, you know, you're talking to your coworkers. Yeah, this morning I go get my coat check for Shabbos. Oh, it's just like women involved together, whatever, Jewish thing. And you continue on with your conversation, just comes up like things like that, where you're not teaching them, but are they allowed to know that it exists?
The fact that you want to say that Jews eat kosher. Well, if you tell them that Jews eat special foods.
Or we don't eat meat and milk together. Let's say the housekeeper, she says,
why not?
But
then you're answering the question, so you're certainly allowed to answer it. I don't know whether you should volunteer when somebody
says,
you're sitting with the coworkers. By the way, we don't eat milk together. I don't know if you should do that. It doesn't come up in conversation, don't worry about that.
But so it did come up in conversation like that. You didn't say, oh, that's this and that. You said, I have to go get my coat check or whatever, and they say, oh, for what?
I guess one answer the question has the answer. Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, not every not all by them are like your Italian neighbors, whatever. A lot of them are very special and very whatever, they say new things, and they don't just want to brush off one more answer. And also what about being looking for by and what about Kenneth Hashem and stuff? And also
I can barely make one question. I already have two plus. Yeah. So can I try to answer the two questions? Okay. Can I answer it? All right. So in terms of the first question, right? If the non-Jew is not like my Italian neighbor, he just wants somebody wants to know more, then you can. I'm not gonna remember, but.
He wasn't.
Secondly, a Jew, you can teach, not only can, you should teach them with Sancha. But yeah, it's a dramatic thing in everything. I know, some Puerto Rican with the name of Christopher comes over to you.
His mother could be Jewish.
His mother could be Jewish, but don't assume that she is.
Why?
Most people in the world are not Jewish.
And therefore,
because they're wrong. Very important. Anyway, let me try to answer your question. Question number one is, let's say they don't want to be brushed off. And the answer is, that's fine. They're asking, answer. My suggestion, though, is sometimes you can give a satisfactory answer without going into great detail. If they say, well, why are long sleeves modest? Well, why wear skirts and not pants? They're modesty. Well, what's the difference? Explain. And this can happen very often. People go, especially if you're in a secular college, it can be the secular workplace or secular college.
Even like in classes,
I'm
like...
Well, I'm not going to remember four questions. I can barely remember one. Right. So... Okay. So, if somebody asks, you can answer. If somebody says, what are you guys doing on Friday night? You know, what's special about your Friday night meals? So you should answer them things. But we do special things. Like what? Oh, like things. You can tell them we like candles. I say, well, why do you like candles? They answer the question. But if she asks you that, I'd like to learn more about Judaism. Can we set up a chavrusa? You know, this chavrusa thing that you guys have? Can we have one of these chavrusas? And, you know, maybe we'll learn one of these Jewish books or whatever it is. So then the answer is you have to politely beg off. You have to think of the right way to do so. Depends. We'll get back to it soon. If you get there, well, it's a bad question about somebody willing to convert. But for the moment, it's just pure curiosity. Right? You can answer the questions she asked, but you don't set up a chavrusa. That was, whoa. That was question number one. I already forgot question number two.
Arla Goyim.
So in terms of Arla Goyim, yes. But Arla Goyim does not mean that they have to know that we don't wear shabbos. Arla Goyim may mean we should teach them about the importance of respecting your parents, about the importance of kavanat brios, about the importance of all, you know, moral behavior, ethical behavior, being nice to other people. That's where this the Orla Goyim. But the fact that you know that we have separate plates from milk and some fleishik, that's not nothing to do with Orla Goyim. Third question I answered already? I'll tell you, the person teaching the biblical criticism class is much better prepared than you are. He's prepared to teach the class. He's much better prepared. And he will catch you on questions and things that you won't know how to answer. Because you haven't prepared for that. Chazal tells us, Dav Masha Toshib Lakikoris, meaning that you won't, unless you know what the answer, you won't. It's not natural. It's not natural. Even somebody who is older than you and spend more time learning, unless they prepare, you're going to pull out some chapter of Isaiah that you never saw before, bring out the King James translation, which is wrong, and you don't know that, and then say to you, well, what are you going to do with this? And you're going to be, huh?
I'm going to teach you.
So, right, but I'm saying to put yourself in a situation in the Bible criticism, biblical criticism class is, I think, a big mistake. Plus, he is the professor, or he or she is the professor who controls how the classroom runs, controls who speaks up, when to speak up, who gets the last word, and grades, and holds that power, makes all sorts of comments, and won't allow you to rebuttal time, because they control the question. It's not a fair debate, so to speak. So, okay. Eye for an eye came up somewhere. Right, because they said, but the Jews believe in eye for an eye. So then if it's wrong, you should correct it. If they ask the question and you know the answer, you should volunteer the answer.
Along with that, for example, in high school, we had there was some ethical competition, and the topic was the Ten Commandments, and do they still apply to the way life runs today?
No, are these cards of modern day morality?
Right. And there were literary ethics council people. We have to do it.
Okay, bye.
So, in order to do that, you're going to have to start studying a whole mental record.
Well, it depends on the situation. In other words, if there are certainly things within the Aseret HaDibro that are important for non-Jews to know. So I think that if you wanted to talk about the morality of Los Yitzhak, Los Sinas, Los Signal, Los Sanaber Chayit Sheker, Los Sachmos, so the whole left side, and the right side, most of them, Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, that's part of Shemus of B'nai Noah. At least to believe in Hashem, Hashem Tzipi Chameret Yitzrayim, maybe less so. But Yelach Elohim Achirim Al Panai. So what are you left with? You're left with, and Kibbutz Av Ein could really be part of Karat Tatov, which is a meter that even, so you're left with Shabbos, and Lotis Hashem Elokecha L'Hashav, almost everything else can apply to that, one way or another. Yes.
I think
they told us that before
they were learning about them. They told us that
what are
your options for them, for your response that day? You know how the questions are, right?
Well, I think it's a few years before you did. They didn't have a
response. They had a pretty broad question about, it could be about society, it could be about anything, and how different things are going to play. You need to prove your response with usually three groups of standards, and it's going to be from literature, learning, and it's also high school, and you can
give authority, a level of authority from Tanakh and like show like a moral like.
We learn. Yeah, Bible story. Well, a Bible story, and I don't like the term, but the term we use like a story from this, which shows the morality that everyone should live, or what God expects of humankind in general is fine.
Okay. And also, so you're saying that the guidance are applied because they're learning Torah. You're saying all of the guidance, besides from the King James Version, whoever learns the Bible, are applied because like that. Like, my mother came to tell me how one of some of the non-Jewish, like, workers there, she knew so well that they called her a more Chris, and she would catch that, and she'd be like,
not her, and you like,
well, yeah, also like that.
Okay.
She was poor, but she would catch that, like, she would go to the workers, she'd write this on, she'd go, what happened if her reporter followed out on this day, and whatever, and
let me finish a few more points. One second. Let me finish a few more points. Some which will hopefully a little bit might answer your question. And then don't forget it. And then when I finish, then if you have any more questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them. There was a question asked earlier. What about somebody trying to convert? So the post can point out that by definition, a non-Jew who wishes to convert has to be mekabel ol mitzvot, and you have to inform him about some of the mitzvot. You don't have to teach him every single thing, because to teach him every single thing takes a number of lifetimes, or even not enough. But you have to teach him certain things. So somebody who has sincere wishes to convert, and has passed preliminary putting the person off, no, why do you want to bother converting? Person is very sincere. Then obviously you'd be allowed to teach them what they need to know. And you would have to teach them, first of all, certain things that can help finalize their decision, realize that it involves this, it involves that. You would also have to teach them certain things that they would have to know from day one. As soon as they convert, they'll have to know certain things. So that would be okay. Now, the Sri Deish, Chiliata Weinberg, wants to take it a little bit further. He says that if by teaching them, even if they're not going to convert, but they're going to come to more greatly appreciate the idea of Torah and the role of Jews in the world, and they will see that there is tremendous wisdom in Torah, then you can teach them also. Now, they're not going to convert. Maybe they'll just become very good B'nai Noah. But they will more greatly appreciate the wisdom the Torah has.
Do they not want to come
out? Not necessarily. But I think it would mean if you saw someone who was coming with a sincere attitude to learn, not with a chip on their shoulder.
Like an intellectual interest.
But a sincere intellectual interest, and somebody who your evaluation is, if it's taught correctly, he will greatly appreciate Torah wisdom, and that will mean they'll have a better appreciation for Jews, for God, for Judaism, whatever it might be. That he's willing to say that that's also permissible. That was the second thing. And finally, on a slightly different issue, which can come up in many situations, what happens if I want to teach to an audience, which is mostly Jewish, but not all? It could be you're teaching in a school where some of the kids maybe come from, well, I'm not Jewish, you know, their father's Jewish but the mother isn't, and they consider themselves Jewish but they're not, or they converted in a non-halakha conversion, or you have a seder, and Aunt Esther and Uncle Chris are coming to the family Seder.
Why?
Because Aunt Esther is coming to the Seder, and unfortunately she is with Uncle Chris.
So why is she not invited?
But
remember,
Aunt Esther's kids are Jewish, and Uncle Chris is sitting at the table. So you don't hear your explanations of the Haggadah for Uncle Chris. You give them for the rest of the population. Uncle Chris is there listening. This was a question that was asked, if I remember correctly, I think Rabbi Tite, the father, used to give a shir on the radio, Daf Hashavua, in Yiddish. And then, later on, he wanted to give it in English. Because the population had changed, and there were those who no longer spoke Yiddish, but spoke English. But if the assumption was that if you gave it in Yiddish, the only people who could understand because speak Yiddish, which would be Jew. Well, as they say, some of the Goyim in Europe, in the towns which are heavily Jewish, also spoke Yiddish to a certain extent. But in English, anybody could speak. But he did actually give. I remember correctly, I think he gave to Moshe Feinstein. Told him, no, because you're hearing this year for the. It was on one of the Jewish radio stations, WEVD, whatever it is. So it's possible, yes, that a goy might tune in, but that's not who you're planning, that's not who you're teaching to, that's not who you're giving to. A goy has to win, that doesn't have to be your concern. Okay, having said that, now, question. First of all, did I answer your question? What was your question about? What are your first questions?
Oh, yeah, well, what about all the Jews? Because they go ahead and go out and they divide them. Are they all going to be excited in some?
So if, well.
How much stuff is with or the one that you
well, you know, like, first of all, some going to read the Bible are.
Not saying my favorite thing.
Not, so you have a different problem. Goyim Rechayim and Shem Mitzvot B'nei Noach, one of which is Avodah Zarah. There was a major discussion amongst the Rishonim and the Achronim regarding Christianity, specifically the belief in the Trinity, and whether that is or that isn't. So there's a much more basic issue there.
But if
they're reading the Bible, right, but if they're reading the Bible, not so much to become more moral people, then that, per se, may not be a problem. I mean, obviously, they're making part of their Bible.
Is it
more
moral?
What?
Is it good to make them more moral?
I said that's not necessarily a problem.
I mean,
okay. That's what I meant. It's not a problem.
Two questions. One, can you ask about a new student that left one? Can you also have one of the Shardins in your office?
If you want to have a conversation with Shem that Chavusa, about Lim Shem Mitzvah B'nei Noach, would be very, very good.
And second, I lost the date. Could you turn over to them and say,
what do you mean?
Jesus said, okay, I'll give you an example. I lost the date between a Christian and an atheist. What should I have done? What is cool with that? Really? You don't think you're able to work with that.
Okay, generally, I mean, we know that Rishonim engaged in the debate, that he called Haramban, that he called like Rishonim Paris, but all these debates were forced upon the Jews. They didn't want to debate, they were forced to debate. And therefore, as much as possible, there's no need to debate, and on the contrary, you should avoid debating. Sometimes, you can't avoid the debate. You're confronted. Especially if you confront it in front of other people. Now, if it's confronted by one person, you can say, listen, I'm not interested in debating you. I don't see any purpose in debating. But, if you, and assuming, sometimes you're confronted in front of other people, and walking away from the debate might be viewed as a sign of weakness. That's a different story. But, again, you have missionaries there, they know a lot more about what they're talking about, then you know what they're talking about because they've been prepped and they've studied and they'll quote the, you know, they'll pull something out of all of them. It's always from Isaiah and you all know what's going on. So if you're not well prepared, then I think you should back off. Not in a way that looks like weakness, but, you know, because as much as you think you know, I've done that for myself. If I had to debate a missionary, I would have to do a lot of homework first. Because if you want to be good, you got to be sharp. You have to really know what you're talking about.
What happens if someone is saying things that Jesus doesn't enough, like, can you go after your mom because cure for
I don't know. First of all, I don't know how much you read the gospel, so I don't know if you're going to be able to counter what they're going to talk about.
There is the
cure for Goyim, Shev Mitzvahs, but they know it.
No, so they're like, can I go out and do, and as I said, they know I passed, I thought before, I go out and study the gospel.
There is a whole nullified community in the United States.
Right, but that's not what I'm saying.
But the Jews, they're involved. The Jews are a system in the Shem and Mitzvah B'nai Noach.
Are you asking, can I go to the gospel and be prepared and then go to help them?
No, that's not true.
Why?
You're not supposed to be prepared either. If you were working as anti-missionary work, there's a different story.
No one told me that you are someone who's going to be prepared. Are you up to read the
Shem and Mitzvah? In general, no. Now, if you are preparing to be an anti-missionary activist...
Why
is the Torah hiding stuff in it? Are you allowed to read pornographic literature? No. Why not? Why did I come? It's bad for you in the Shabbat. Reading pornographic literature is bad for you in the Shabbat. Not hiding it. It's bad for you in the Shabbat. So reading up the course of social literature is bad for you in the Shabbat.
No, but...
Yes, it is.
Reading literature... For
our higher culture. Oh, that's what I'm saying. If you're learning how to be an anti-missionary activist. If Rabbi Berzon wanted to give a class or two about missionary activity and like this is what it says in the Gospels and this is the mistranslation and this is how you answer and this is what you should know and this is what's that, I would think that would be fine. I don't see any problem in that. And if Rabbi Berzon would need to properly prepare for this class, would read certain sections, would bend and bow, etc., that's fine. But you have to be staying in some hotel room somewhere all night, and in the night table drawers of the Gideon Bible there, and you're bored, and you say, hey, let me read the Gospel according to Mark and Matthew, I would tell you, no. Next
question.
They won't have to be kiddish, but they can't just run.
It's
like on the book of the side. There's certain things that are very basic. I think you are right, because Dalai Lama Zara, you don't realize the three cardinal sins, so there are three basic issues. Gezel is a basic issue, but not on the Chazera. If you're dealing with Dina, which is setting up a sort of a system of law and order, which makes sense. Birchas Hashem, which is not to Hashem curse God, which also is a very basic thing. Eidah Ben Achai is the one that seems a little bit out of order, but if you think about the Achzariot, the cruelty of just a live chicken and ripping off its pulchion.
Even if something is not explicitly said, or like mentioned in the section, you can open it up, move to them, like, fully within the standard.
Right. I mean, there. You have to realize that there. I think somebody wants to do the calculation. I don't remember the exact number. There's something like 60 some odd mitzvot that are in Shemitz and Zeninah. Because when it's 50, can't be Rabbi Avodah Zarah. So it's bound to Avodah Zarah. It's fashioning Avodah Zarah. There are numerous things that are involved. Well, they were told to Adam, they were told to Noah, and they were supposed to have been, well, they were supposed to have been passed down from generation to generation. The fact that they, that link, that the Sora has been broken, could be a problem. And therefore, there is a positive aspect to teaching Goyim and Shem and Susan and Noah. What? To a certain extent. So we don't necessarily do that, but there is something, and to some extent, maybe they should, there may be an intuition, I don't know, they should just go around murdering people.
I know, like, a lot of it is being matched, like, is it fair for
that? So that's what comes about, there is the concept of Tinoch Shemishba, you know, the concept of Tinoch Shemishba, because the Goyim Shemishba can they know. They never learned that, I don't know, that adultery is wrong. It's pretty hard.
But it's not only the type of influence
that they don't
care
about, they can't restore it.
It's only hard for them, they can't restore
their benefits.
So how do they
restore
it?
They were never given to like everything else. I don't know about everything. One of the things that they need to know is that they're not supposed to
learn
to. So we don't have to reach that final judgment whether they're guilty, knowingly, unknowingly, shogeg, mazed, honest. That's a problem with business. You'll know whether they should have known, they shouldn't have known, how much you could have demanded of them, but it's all that's a problem. Our job is to let them know that, right? If he starts going to tell, we should tell him that he shouldn't be going to tell. Okay.